come to your presence by blood of Jesus, confessing our sins of omission and commission. I in particular humble myself under your mighty hand. I don't come under the covering of myself, spiritual fathers. The Lord, the Bible says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that willeth, but whom you show mercy. The Lord, you show mercy for the kingdom's sake. You show mercy that the body will be defined as we go into your word this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask for grace to minister, to teach, to preach as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing us to become more conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what goes forth, let it break yokes in our life, let it cause needs to be met, bringing glory to the name of Jesus Christ and blessing to us the source of men. And our wills be further, our wills become, as we pray, as we go into your word, Lord, your cause and emotions be controlled by the power of the top spirit. That our wills become more humble, that Lord, you will enlighten our minds, revelation of the word that goes forth, helping Lord to redeem time, not to say things that are necessary. Thank you, Father, for all you're doing in our midst today. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. The message I have this evening is a very, very simple message. It's an exhortation unto walking in the love of God. And I've titled it, Controlled by Love. Let's say it together. Controlled by Love. It's very important because I discovered that we've been hearing about the love message over and over and over again. But in my meditations recently, I discovered that that is the key to everything we have to do for God. The more we grow in love, the more God will be able to do what he wants to do in our own lives and also in this end time. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Read from verses 14 in Amplified. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Read from verses 14 and 15. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Amplified. Let's read that. For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels me. Because what? We are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. Next verse. And that he died for all. Let's read together. And that he died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Let's take it once again. So kind of better understand what Paul was trying to say. Here Paul was talking about his experience. Say, and he died for all. 14, please. Put it back in 14. Thank you. Say, for the love of Christ constrains us. That word constrain, put it back in. Please don't go to KJV. Put it back in Amplified. It will say, for the love of Christ controls, urges, and impels. That is, controls means that it puts a restraint on what you do. And it urges, means that it impels or pushes you on. That is, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all are dead. You see, he's not talking here about dying physically, as we all know. He's talking about crucifying the flesh. That is, he was talking to the Corinthian church that everything I do, I'm being controlled by love. That is love that urges me and pulls me back and enables me to do what I want to do. And said that, for if one died for all, then we're all, that all have died. Next verse. Thank you. Verse 15. And he died for all. Excuse me. And that he died for all, so that all, say all, that includes you and I, those who live might live no longer to them for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. I discovered, as we all know from experience, most times we don't fulfill this scripture because we don't actually, everything we do as a Christian, when you get born again and you're in a growth process, you find that most of the times you do things based on what will benefit you. And that's how we all start as Christians, as baby Christians. You know, we are a bit self-centered in what we do, even though deep inside we don't want to do it. But like Paul was saying, he was exhorting the Corinthian church that look, he has judged, which must come to that place in our Christianity. Judgment here means we discern. That is, you see by revelation. First of all, you see by revelation that look, God has called you no longer to live unto yourself. The essence of Christianity is for you to come to the place whereby the love of Christ controls you. The love of Christ pushes you on. If you read through the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible will say that he was moved with compassion. If you go to a place like the Pool of Bethesda, and when he got to that place, there were many people that were there. Ordinarily, if I was that kind of person, for Lord Jesus Christ, I would have healed everybody. But he got there, and what happened? He healed only one man. And then he quickly disappeared from that place and he left. Why? Because it was the love of God that was controlling him, that was urging him on. He found out that sometimes in his ministry, he would say, I must go this way. And the disciples said, no, why don't you let us go this way? Why? Because love is what controls him. And that is the end of our faith. If you open the Bible to the book, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Please put it there in the 1 Timothy. Let's read. Say, now, the end of the commandment is what? Charity. That what charity is? Love. Agape. Out of what? A pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Like we said before, what it means there is that love, though, is in the heart, but the heart may not be pure. The heart is talking about here, you know, the Bible talked about Romans chapter 5, verse 5. We're going to go there later on. It says, for the love of Christ is what? Shed abroad in our heart. When we get born again, as we all know, God sheds his love abroad in our heart, agape, in our spirit. The heart there speaks about the spirit man. But you see, in our process of trying to walk in love, that love must move from our spirits into our souls and then influence our thinking and our physical body. So, but Paul is saying here again that he said the end of our commandment is what? Love out of a pure heart. So that means that the heart is not necessarily pure. And what makes the heart impure is the sin nature, the residual sin nature in the soul and the physical body. So when it is pumped, it's like you have a pipe that has a drainage pipe or a pipe that supplies water that is already corroded. As the water begins to flow out of the pipe, it picks up impurities in the way. And then as it flows out, even though the intention is not for it to bring out the pure water, but because the pipe, the connection is not clean, it picks up those impurities. That's why you find that the Bible says that don't despise prophesying. It's about hold fast to that which is good. Why? Because God knows that in the process, in our growth process, when we are trying to walk in love or declare or say what God wants us to say, he picks up things from our souls. I follow him out of emotions. A case in point is when the Apostle Paul, and Agabus tied his hand with, what's it called? His belt, girdle. And he said, thus saith the Lord, that you, this man, you are going to be handed over to Romans, and then they are going to imprison you. And when he said that, Paul, because of his maturity, understood what God was trying to say. But when he got to the house of Philip, and Philip's daughters came, and they began to prophesy. They got the same word, but their interpretation was different. Because their emotions came and said, no, this cannot be for you. You can't go. The same thing Lord Jesus Christ, remember. After Peter gave the word and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next minute, Peter was thought that he was walking in love. We were no longer controlled by love. And when Jesus Christ said, I'm going to the cross, and I will have to die. If I told you, I'll be raised again. Peter said, no, far be it from you. And then Jesus Christ said something. He said, thou savourest. He said, thou savourest the things of men. That is, he was telling Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because at that point in time, Satan from the air, the prince of power of the air, had influenced Peter's thinking, worked on his emotions to try and hinder the Lord Jesus Christ from doing the will of God. Why is this message important as we continue? You see, because it is very important for us to learn to walk in the love of God and then to walk in that love, to be controlled by the same, so that in everything we do, I follow me, we'll be led by the Spirit. There's a scripture, I'm going to get that in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. That means that those that are not led constantly or practically all the time by the Spirit of God are not yet sons of God. Sons of God there means mature sons of God. That is the hallmark that will determine sons of God is the end time. That's why God is calling us to grow in love. Praise the Lord. So I put it there. I said to be controlled by love is to control by God. Why? Because God is what? Love. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. Let's just put the scripture behind that to continue. Are we there? 4. Okay, it says, we are of God. Let's go. We are of God. And he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth. Is this the scripture I said? Lord have mercy. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, not 6. Let's just say that Jesus, God is love. Okay. And we know, and we have known, and believe the love that God has for us. That God is what? Love. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. So, when we say that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What we are saying is, as many as are led by the love of God, they are the sons of God. And you see, the love we are talking about is not just being led by love, It has to be love in your thinking, in what you say, and your actions. Like as Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Put it there just to explain. Romans chapter 5, Paul was talking. I said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because what the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Why? What? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, and when we get born again, God puts that love. The heart there is not the soul. It's not the will of the man. It's talking about the spirit of man. When you get born again, there is a measure of love that is put in your heart, in your spirit. But you now have to grow and use the principle of perfection to allow that love to move from your soul, from your spirit into your soul, and then into your body, so that it can dominate everything that you think, say, and do. Praise the Lord. So that is very important for us to just lay in the background. And I said, what is love? Pastor has taught us. Love is, recently he made it clearer. He said, love is the wisdom to discern from the word of God, the compassion to desire from the fruit of the Spirit, and the power to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, because in every situation, what God will do. That is, when we say love, most people have an emotional idea of what love is. That's why you find that the Bible says that in the book of Revelation, it says that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. In the natural mind, to chasten is not love. But the Bible is saying that if God loves us, he will chasten us, he will correct us. So we'll discover that as we grow more in the love of God, we will be led more by that love, or be led more by the Spirit of God. You see, the advantages of being led by love. Why I'm getting ahead of myself is that, because you see, in recent times, there are a lot of things going on in the body of Christ. You find people giving prophecies, people doing miracles, and people are easily led astray. Jesus Christ said it's an adulterous and a sign-seeking generation. Why do people fall down to pray to such kind of people? Why? Because they have not grown in love, or they have not allowed the love of God to determine the decisions that they made. Praise the Lord. So as we go on, like I said earlier, God wants us to be led by his love. He desires to lead every child of his. Oftentimes people come to me and they will ask, or you must have experienced, well, I don't know what to do in this situation. How do I do? The easiest thing you can do as a Christian is to check through the filter of love. If you check through the filter of love, you'll be able to, at least to a very good degree, be able to. But again, I discovered that as you go on, you see why I'm going this way. You find that even if you check through love, at times you may not be able to discern, because of the level of growth that you are at that point in time. And God has put certain things in place. And the other aspect of it is that if we are not led by God or by love, then we are led by something else, which has to be Satan and his power in the air. Ephesians 2:2. He said, wherein in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. There is a power in the air that seeks to control, it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, to influence our thinking, to influence our decision. Next verse, verse 3. And now begins to express, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That happened before we got born again. Even after we get born again, the same influence is still in the air, trying to control, trying to lead us. And that's why you find that many Christians at times, they make decisions that are not based on God. And then you ask, but how could you have done it? You know, like Pastor Clay was sharing the other day, Paul says something. The same, everybody goes through this experience. Say, when I was a child, I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I saw face to face. If you notice, even Lord Jesus Christ, I'm getting ahead of myself. That is why God has put spiritual fathers in position of authority. Are you following me? Jesus Christ, when he was 12, he went to the temple. He was being led. Are you following me? But was in a growth process. And he came to the time when they ought to go. Then he sat down and he was talking with the Pharisees and the scribes, and he bamboozled them. I mean, he spoke excellently Welsh. So his parents came back after 3 days to come and pick him. I said, son, why have you thus done this to us? I said, don't you know I must go about my father's business? Are you following me? Which, what he said is true. But they took him and he submitted. Because why? At that time, he was in a growth process. Are you following me? Even though he knew the will of God, even though he had an understanding of why, at least to a certain degree. But you see, he still needed somebody at that time that was mature to rein in him. Are you following me? And to keep him under until the time comes for him to now be led by the Spirit of God himself. That's how God operates. He does not operate any other way. Praise the Lord. So, let's open to Romans chapter 7. We read from verse 15. When Paul was talking. Why? Paul was talking. This is an old apostle. He was saying something. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. But can you put in the Amplifier? I think it will be much clearer. Amplified Bible. For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled, bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish. But I do the very thing that I loathe, which my moral instinct condemns. That is, you must have gone through this at one point. You desire to do something. Maybe you desire to wake up tomorrow and pray. You've made up your mind. And then you still find yourself, when the alarm rings or you wake up, or the Holy Spirit beeps you to wake up, you still turn over. And then you, but you see, at the end of the day, there should be no condemnation for us. It's a growth process. Next verse. Now, if I do habitually, say if I do habitually, what is contrary to my desire? That means that I what? Acknowledge and agree that the law is good, morally excellent, and that I take sides with it. Next verse. That's in the spirit, man. However, say however, it is no longer I who do this deed, but the sin principle or sin nature, as you know, which is at home in and in me and has possession of me. Next verse, verse 18. For I know, let's go. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh, I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and urge, can you remember that scripture, to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. So it means it takes spiritual power. Are you following me? To carry instructions out, to carry that inner desire when the Holy Spirit nudges you. Next verse. For if I fail to practice, for if I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds that I do, that I do not desire to do, are what I'm ever doing. That is, this is the spiritual state where we are in when we first get born again. You find out that this nature in the soul and in the flesh controls us and hinders us from doing what we desire to do deep from within. Praise the Lord. So the flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit lusts against the flesh. He said, but these are contrary one to another. And it leads, for you cannot do the things that you want to do. Are you following me? So, but God does not want us to remain in that spiritual state. Now, that's why the Bible says something. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He says that he that trusted in his own heart is a fool. You see, because when you recognize that in your soul and in your physical body, and that until you get rid of that sin nature, or you subdue it by the force of spiritual arms, any thought that comes to you, or any decision you have to make, especially if it's a vital decision, you can't trust your heart. It is very, very important. That's why we need to understand this message. You see, you can't trust your heart. You many times will say, I've said it many times, God told me, God told me. And I found out later, it wasn't God that actually spoke to me. But it sounded like God. Why? Because of a sin nature in the soul and also in the body. So that's why the Bible says that he that trusted in his heart is a fool. It's not an abuse. A fool, he that trusted in his own heart is what? A fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, it shall be delivered. That means if you trust in your heart, you are not walking wisely. The same Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So when a thought comes to you, or you think God will lead you to do something, especially things that are very important, you want to pick a job, you want to get married and all that, you can't trust your heart. You have to ask for counsel. Apart from going through the Bible, you need to ask some counsel from those who are already mature. I follow me. It's very, very important. You know, Bible says Proverbs 21, verse 1. Proverbs 21, verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? It says that the king's heart, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as what? Rivers of water, he turneth it with whatsoever he will. That is the difference between the heart of a child or a servant and the heart of a king. The heart of a servant, are you following me? You can't trust in it. And we all start as servants. We become princes and then we go to king. That is our destiny. But that's why I gave the example of Lord Jesus Christ as a babe in Bethlehem. Are you following me? He could not make decisions for himself at that age. He had to rely on his parents. Are you following me? So what I was saying. So, but as you grow spiritually, you come to this place whereby your heart, you can now, you see, God now begins to control your heart. The Bible says that out of our belly shall flow
rivers of living water. That is the measure of life of God that is flowing out of the heart of a king, controls his heart. That is from the Holy Spirit. So he's not partial in his judgment. When he wants to make a decision, it is God that moves his heart to make the right decision. Why? Because as at that time, he would have probably almost cleansed out the sin nature from his soul and his body. So he's not being led by the flesh. Praise the Lord. That's why Paul said what he said. He said that the love of Christ controls us. He could not say that in Romans chapter 7 that we read. He said, Paul said, this I want to do, I can do it. But that which I don't want to do is what I now find myself doing. The same Paul in 2 Corinthians now begins to say that, look, the love of Christ is what is controlling me. You can see the progression in his life. Like we said the other time, the same one that sent somebody away, same one that I said, go and bring him. That is profitable for me for the gospel. Praise the Lord. So that is the key that we need to understand. And as I just, John chapter 18, verse 37, let's put the scripture behind it. Because that is our purpose, that is that we come to that place. That love of God begin to control our heart, our will, our mind, and our emotions. This is master talking when they're going to kill him. Say, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Then Jesus answered, thou seest that I am a king. To this end, said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that what I should what? Bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That is our end. Why is this our end? That is, we must move from that place where we are initially to this place whereby I become a spiritual king. It's not a physical king. A spiritual king is somebody who God controls his heart. That is, he's being led all the time by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. So, there's something I want us to see as we continue. You see, like I said, we'll look at an example. This is how I used to explain the scripture. Proverbs 25, verse 28. You see, like I said, when we start, we don't start this way. And I mentioned that we need to be under mature Christians that whose hearts are being controlled by love. Let's read the scripture. Say, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You see, the spirit here is talking about your soul, your emotion, your will. He said, he's talking about a Christian. The Bible talks about a city, talks about a church. I also talked about an individual. So he says that he that had no rule or control over his spirit is like what? A city that is broken down and without walls. What this tells us is that God does not want the city to be without walls. That is, you see, when you have a city and it's likening that city to your spirit, that is without walls, is like a what? Like a city that is broken down and that is without walls. That is, that wall is supposed to act as a protection for that city. Because if there is no wall around that city, the enemy will invade it and take everybody captive. That is what Babylon has done. You see, what is Babylon? You see, Babylon comes and puts God's people into spiritual captivity. So they can't grow. So like a city that's without walls. But God does not want it to be that way. What are we talking about when we say walls? We're not talking about a physical wall. War here speaks about the power of the Spirit of God that comes out from mature leadership. So that in that process of growth, where you make decisions, where you decide to do this thing or to do that one, there's a wall that surrounds your spirit and your soul. So the enemy cannot come and take you. Like, you know, in the book of Jeremiah, when the king of Babylon came, the first thing he did was this. After he conquered, he brought the king and he removed his eyes. Spiritual blindness. Then he led everybody captive. And he took them away to Babylon. So, but this is not what God wants to do. Let's look at the scripture to explain this further. You see, he's talking about not a physical war, he's talking about a spiritual war that shields you. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 16. This was when David, and had protected Nabal, and the Nabal's servants were telling Abigail what David did. Let's read together. For they were a wall unto us, both by what? Night and day. All the while we were with them, keeping their sheep. Very important. So they were a wall about us. All the while we were keeping the sheep. That is, if it wasn't as if David, as you all know, not as if he built a wall, physical wall around them, but was protecting them and making sure that they did not come to spoil them. That was what David did at that time. So, but like I said earlier, let's look at the scripture to explain this. Like I said, from Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel began to talk about the temple.
that he said that the, if you look at the temple of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 47 verse 1 to explain this portal, it says, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of a house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of a house, eastward, and the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. This speaks about when you begin to pray. Are you following me? Bible talks about the right hand. Bible says Jesus Christ, he said at the right hand of God the Father. And what does he do there? He ever leave me to make intercession for the saints. So when you first get born again and you begin to pray, like you've been told, you got good money, you practice what you have to practice money. Or let me say, you use that small love book. The measure of water that begins to come out from the right side, the altar speaks about the place of prayer. And the right hand talks about the right of intercession. When God begins to pray in the spirit, not just pray in the understanding alone. He says, afterward, he brought me unto the door of the house. The house speaks about you and I. And I, the body of Christ, and then you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God was showing Ezekiel a type of a Christian as we grow spiritually, especially when you begin to pray. I follow him. But what I want to see is the waters issued out from the south side of the altar. Next verse. So then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way, without unto the outer gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Next verse. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were what? To the ankles. That is, at that time, God began to measure the flow of life that came out of this temple, which is you and I. Because at every point in time, what God will be looking at is that how much are you being controlled by love or by the river that is coming out from your temple. So initially here, you find that as the waters came out, they were to the ankles. And if water are just to the ankles, it's easy for you to walk up and down without any hindrance, because it's difficult for you to control. All you have to do is to be careful you don't slip. Let's move to verse 4. After a period of time, let's say again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. That's, we can see a progression. That is, as the water kept coming out from the threshold on the right side of the altar, there was an increase in measure of the flow of water that was coming out from the temple. Initially, it was to the ankles. Then it moved to the knees. That's when you begin to pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. You find that you are beginning to relinquish your control to the flow of that river, which is the ultimate that God wants us to do. That is, as you grow spiritually, like you move from a stage of being a carnal Christian to a Christian that is being led, but it's not something that happens in one day. So he moves from beneath to the loins. And then you find out that in verse 5, he now became, put in verse 5, he said, and afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river, and I could not pass over it, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. That is the point we are supposed to get to, like I said earlier on, where the river or the water or the love of God begins to control us. You no longer have control of what God wants to do. Because you know why? Because when we don't get to this place, it will be difficult for God to be able to use us in many areas. Let me give you an example. If I'm standing here today and the Spirit of God says something to me and says that, okay, maybe there is somebody here that is blind, that I should go and pray for the person, my natural body will be afraid to go. Why? Because how about if I pray and nothing happens? I know what I'm trying to say. Why? Because the sin nature is still there. Fear will creep in. But you see, by the time you grow more in the love of God and you are led by the Spirit of God, you will flow automatically what God wants you to do. Are you following me? It will be easier for you to flow. You are not trying to raise the dead. You are not trying to act up something. You are not trying to be bold. Are you following me? All those unctions, the grace will be there to do what God wants you to do, and you are not going to overdo it. Are you following me? You are not going to exceed like this guy in the Bible that God, Jehu, and says go and destroy some people. He overdid it. Are you following me? You are going to do exactly what God will do. So, he said he became waters to swim over. Now, why is this very important? Like I said later on, you see, there's a lot going on in the body of Christ today where people are being led astray. Are you following me? By miracles, by signs and wonders, or even things that you wouldn't even believe that is being practiced in the body of Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17.
Second Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Second Peter 3, 17. Where Peter was talking, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also be what? Led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. Say, God wants us to remain steadfast. I follow him. That's what he says in book, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says that be steadfast, always abounding in the work of knowing that your labor in what is not in vain. So he says, ye therefore, brethren, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. That is, it is possible for us, we will not be led astray, to be led astray. Are you following me? But you see, God has put something in place. That's why you have that wall. That's supposed to shield us when we make decisions and what we do. Praise the Lord. I put Matthew chapter 24, 11 here. Like I was sharing the other time, this is something that is going to be rampant in the end time. It's already happening. That's why I'm trying to say, well, share this message today. So, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You see, when he was saying this, he was talking to disciples. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. Are you following me? He was talking to Christians. He said, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Why? Next verse. Next verse. I said, because what? Iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. That means there is a process in which if the love can wax cold, that means it can wax hot. Are you following me? So that is the essence of the message. That is, we are in the end time. And we need to grow more in the love of God. So that love can control us. So I will not be led away with the error of the wicked. There's a story in the book of Acts that talks about when they were going to brought disciples before them, going to discipline them. And this man, Gamaliel, he said, why don't you leave these people? They now cited two examples. I don't have to turn there. I think Acts 5. He said, there was also and so that rose up at one time and he led some people astray. And some mentioned another set of Thaddeus or something like that. He said, it rose one Egyptian and he led some. Why was it so easy for him to lead people astray? Why? Because love is supposed to come out from a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. So while your love is developing, your conscience must be sound. That is, even though you may not understand, you check with the voice of your conscience. Therefore, our consciences must not be seared. You see something, you will check and say, ah, I don't understand, but there's something about this thing. That's the check you have. That's why God put those in yourself. Because love, while he's trying to come out from a pure heart, you are preferring heart, so he must come with the good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That is, the end of your faith must always be in goal. When you want to make a decision, as you have three things in place, you have your conscience, you have your faith. That is, what is the end of my faith? With this thing I'm trying to do, is it adding to my faith? When we talk about faith, we're not talking about getting born again. We're talking about the end of our faith, that is, being conformed to the image of Lord Christ. And then, overall, you now have that wall of protection, which you must not venture out of. Because once you move out of that protection of love, are you following me? It's very, very easy for you to pick a wrong signal. That is, if you know, if you have a Wi-Fi, there's a range perimeter that it works all the time. As long as within our perimeter, you keep on picking signals. And once you step out of that area, are you following me? You find out that it's difficult to pick anything again. And that person, you should not go to the field of the fatherless. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to look at a few examples before we close today. Very short message. Let's look at the Apostle Peter. John chapter 21. You see, after the master had spent time 3 years, most of the time when we read the Bible, maybe because he called them apostles, that they were mature, they were spiritual babies. That's why he said that, if you remember when he sent them to go and cast out devils and they came back and they were rejoicing, he said, oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, because you have revealed this thing to babes. Are you following me? That is, what the first thing we need to know is, you don't have to be mature to carry the Spirit without measure. That's why I said, I thank you, Heavenly Father, because you have built this into babes. And it was referring to Peter, James, and John, including Judas. Now, after Jesus Christ left, after he died, he told them something, said, go and tarry ye in the what? Upper room. That is the range that Jesus' Wi-Fi of love will cover. So, but here, Peter said, and he was supposed to be leader. The Bible says something. It says that Paul was talking. He said that you must not put a novice in position of authority. True.
But if you put a novice in a position of authority, make sure that you build a world around him so that he does not leave the range of your social, so to your spiritual Wi-Fi. So whatever what happened there, just kind of told them, said, Peter, go and tarry, go and wait for me until you be endued with power, which is where we are right now. But all of a sudden, Peter got an idea. A thought came to him, and a thought was being led by the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? It says, now, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. No Wi-Fi. Because they had left where God told them to stay. Are you following me? So you see, here, Peter, when he got the idea, he thought that he was being led by God. Why am I saying that? I want us to relate this to what we are going through right now. The Bible says, though he tarry, wait for it. But there is a place to wait. The place you wait is the range of where the wall, the boundaries, that's where you tarry. If you move out of that place, just like temptations will come to tell you to go and do something, I follow me, you must always go back to the last instruction given. Tarry in the upper room. Don't go anywhere. I follow me. That's why I believe God is bringing this message to us. And then you discover that, go to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. I think. Verse 2. It says, it appeared unto him the third time, when the third day. This is what I want to say. There we are together with what? Simon. I follow Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus. How can you pick Thomas as your assistant? An unbeliever. He said, called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana, are you following me, of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples. Now, listen to me. I said something. I said that you don't give your, you don't, but Paul said you don't put a novice in position of authority. But you see, you can put somebody there. Because if you don't put somebody, if just guys didn't put them there, there won't be anybody to hand over to. Because 3 years is too short for them to go to maturity. So, but the professor is this, they must obey instructions. So that they can keep on operating that anointing until they get their own. That is the issue we are talking about here. So you find that Peter was supposed to be leader. And then he chose Thomas to be assistant. And then look at, what's his name? Nathanael. Bible says, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. But you see, it was led astray. It's not enough to have no guile in your spirit. But the most important thing is that you now have to keep the instruction that the master gave you. So that you will not be deceived. Anyway, Peter led them and said, let's go and fishing. They went to fish and they didn't catch anything. Why did they catch anything? Because there was no Wi-Fi, spiritual Wi-Fi. They had left the radius of where God wanted them to stay. So, nothing happened. And the Bible says that it was the third time that the master appeared to them. So I think it's in verse 2 says that, but thought I go back to what's it called? Go back to, I think verse 2 said when John was talking. Sorry, he said that, and this was the third time that the master appeared to them in Tiberias. I following me? We're on the third day, and we expect his appearing, and he has told them that he should go and tarry in Jerusalem, and they left. So having left now, Bible says they caught nothing because the master was not there. But God was merciful. Are you following me? They carried the mast and everything came to where they were. Are you following me? And he told them, he said, it's ridiculous for you to be fishing for all night on one side. And didn't it occur to them that you throw the net to the other side? Don't you imagine to say? He didn't say move 10, 25 furlongs. No, he just said, children, do you have any meat? That's love talking. He said, immediately Peter recognized. He said, okay, no problem. Cast your net to the other side. And I'm asking, out of all of you, and Peter, you are fishermen, it didn't occur to you to cast the net. If you've been trying something on this side, why won't you just go to the other side? Anyway, the master came. He brought, love came himself on the scene. And when they did it, they caught fish and their net break. So you see, why am I saying that? Even though at every point in time, because of our spiritual goal, that Bible is in the book of Galatians. He said, here, as long as he's a little child, defend nothing from a servant, but it's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Why is God exhorting us again? It's not because God wants to keep anybody down. But he's trying to say out there, like I read in the book of Matthew 24, many are going to be deceived. Why? Because they are not rascal. Or let me put it this way, because they've not developed in love enough. They are not rooted and thank you, sir. They are not rooted and grounded in love. That is why the deception is so much. That Bible says they're being led as sheep astray. But God doesn't want you to also continue that way. So, but let's look at the end. John chapter 21, verse 18. And the master now told Peter something which he had not yet attained unto. He said, very, verily, I say unto you, when thou was what? Young. That means he has gone from a babe, as now young. He said, then thou was young, thou gatherest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, not until you are old or mature, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall guide thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. So God now, Jesus Christ told him, he said, Peter, he told him the reason why he fell into this error. He said, Peter, you are young. He said, that's why you can go wherever you want to go. That is, you find out that it's easy for us when we are young to jump up and down. I did it when I was first of all born again. The first few years I got born again, I went literally everywhere. I went to this convention, this so-and-so is coming down, this one is coming. I went everywhere. So I learned so many things that I had to purge myself. After some time, I said, if I keep on going like this, I will somehow go back. And then my friends were beckoning and calling me to come back. After the temptations were still there. So I'll go to this fellowship, they will teach on deliverance. Then I'll go to another fellowship, I'll mention their names. You see people fall on the floor, roll on the ground. I say, this is the real power of God. Now I'll go to this one, they'll say, donate money. And then I kept on going. But I've been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine because love had not even perfected. I told him, so that was what happened. So he now told him, he said, look, come. He said, when you are young, you go. It's not a question of whether you don't want to. The issue here is this. His Bible says that it's not so. You see, if you say I won't go, you will go. It's not a cause. But the issue is to hold on to the instruction that has been given unto you. And hold on to that instruction by practicing it. What do I mean by that? The Bible says, hold fast to the instruction of your father, for it is your life. It is that instruction you hold on to that said, okay, something is about to break forth. So everybody is tarry. That is the only thing that will keep your flesh under, because at this point in time, you have not managed to be, you are not, like Paul said, you things you don't want to do, you find yourself doing it. So knowing that instruction, you know, in those days when we were young, at home, your parents would say, make sure you don't go out. We all hear the instruction. But the only reason why I will not go out is that I should go out, and my dad will find me outside, I'm in serious trouble. Not because I didn't want to go out, but because of that instruction. I use that just as an illustration. So he told Peter here, he said, but when you are old, another will guide you. Are you following me? And you will stretch out your hand. I said, you don't come to a place, you stretch out your hand. I said, Lord, wherever you are leading me today, another shall guide thee and carry thee. You see, the Holy Spirit now, that is, when God now says, now if I say, somebody God says, you are going to Afghanistan, you are not ready. You know why? Because you are going to be afraid. But there will come that time in your life as you grow spiritually that the Spirit of God will guide you and will send you wherever He wants you to go. And you're not going to be afraid. That's why He was telling Peter. He said, there's coming a time that another will guide you. The personal person that will guide him here is not the physical person. He's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. I said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So another will guide you and take you where you don't want to go. So that is the process we are going through. That's the example of Peter. The second example I want to give is a guy called Joash. Why is God bringing this to us? So that we don't make silly mistakes. You see, many times we make mistakes that are not necessary. And as you can make a mistake, and you may not discover until after 10 years, like Naomi, that you made a mistake. You see, because making a mistake is not determined by whether you made the right decision. It's not determined by whether, okay, you succeeded. No, making the right decision is doing what God wants you to do. Are you following me? And at that time, so let's look at Joash, 2 Chronicles chapter 24. This was a young boy. This paints his picture better. You see, he did not deserve to be king or to carry the anointing of a king. He didn't deserve it. He was a baby. But I said, Joash was what? 7 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. How can you put someone that's eight years old on the throne? You see what I'm trying to say? You see, you will see later. They put him on the throne. But he was not the one that was ruling. That's what happens to us when we are spiritual babies. Now, but you see, each time anybody or any one of us comes to minister, Pastor Kunle, Pastor Bega, anybody, you say we are under authority. It's not religion. But you understand it. I follow me. You now know how to key into it so you can experience the kingly anointing that Joash experienced. Next verse. And Joash, Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of what? Jehoiada the priest. He had his priest. I follow me. That was over him. The Bible say, hey, the guy behaved himself. As long as Jehoiada was there. That's the reason. That means assuming Jehoiada was not there, one, you will not experience that kingly anointing. I promise. And then number two, you will not behave well. You know why? Because the same thing we are talking about, if you look at it from this story, it's talking about types and shadows. If you read further down, it was Jehoiada that saved this boy when Athaliah was going to kill them. The Bible says that Athaliah destroyed all the royal seed. There's an Athaliah in the world today that is seeking to destroy the sons of God, the royal seed. But the only way that you can rule and reign, firstly, over your own body. Secondly, in your circumstances, even though you are a novice, is to stay within the walls of David. I follow me. So it says that Jehoiada the priest, next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Next verse. It says, and Jehoiada took for him two wives and begat sons and daughters. You know, that's the Old Testament. Nobody is giving everybody two wives. Praise the Lord. Let me try and skip some verses. No. It's not the scripture we are going to fulfill. It is not all scripture. Anyway, let's go to verse 15 because of time. You see, before putting verse 15, if you read that entire verse, the guy did so many things. In fact, he even corrected Jehoiada at one time. He said they should go and bring a chest. The guy went to the temple. He said they should contribute money for the building of the temple. And when they got there, the people were a bit slow. The guy got angry. And he went to Jehoiada. I said, how come they've not done this thing? Jehoiada, okay. See the heart of Jehoiada. Jehoiada humbled himself. He said they put a chest there and should be putting money there. Every day they empty it. Why was he doing that? Because he was under this man's covering. I follow him. So, verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days. And he died. And at 130 years old was he when he died. I don't have time to go about this. Pastor has shared about this man. Even David did not get to 130 years. This man was not entitled to be buried where they buried the kings. They buried this man where they buried the kings. When we get to heaven, this man's reward is far beyond that of Solomon. Are you following me? They said they buried him where they buried the kings. And they made great lamentation for him. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings. Because why? He had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. So God wants us to do good in Israel, both toward God and toward I talked about the body of Christ. So it was because of this man that boy was doing what he was doing. I repeat myself again. Because you see, when Paul said, don't put a novice into authority, he said something. Why? He said, let's be lifted up with pride. Because he put novice in authority. Are you following me? And begins to make decisions himself. Maybe you give him like 30 billion. He's in charge of 30 billion. And he begins to disburse 30 billion. In his heart, he will say, that is what God moves into trouble. When he said, shall we fetch water for you? What you call that here? That's what happens when you put a novice. Not that God doesn't want to put you. So the only way you can, like I said, bring that nature down is to abide
in this under that under circumference of that man. Are you following me? So that you can okay. So let's be devil. Continue of devil. Next, let's go back to verse 15. Yes, 15. I think we're in 15. We read 15. But yeah, okay, verse 16. I want to see something. And they buried him in the city of the, okay, verse 17. Thank you. Okay. Say, now after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah, and they made obeisance to the king. Are you following me? That's what Satan does. And to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. Don't put the novice in authority if you're not ready to cover him spiritually. You see, when this man died, this is a natural story. But can I see that? It's when the covering was withdrawn. What was shielding him? What the wall that was shielding the spirit that we had in Proverbs. Then these guys came to him. So when they came, what happened? I said, and they hearkened unto them. Can you imagine if, like Pastor says, if David was alive, could Solomon have ever dared what he did? Same principle. Are you following me? So next verse. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groups and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their transgression. You know why? Why would God punish them if he had not given them enough to escape this temptation? That is why this boy was under Jehoiada. He had not changed as he should. Instead of locks wax stronger and hotter, he kept on waxing colder and colder. Is that the snare that, I don't want to use the word snare, when you are under covering of the right spiritual people, when you wake up and you don't pray, things work out well. So you now say, ah, thank God. Well, I don't have to pray, I'm under covering. That is the problem of God. I didn't have a wedding garment. So when he now came to check Joash's wedding garment, he didn't have. So they came, and you know the story, they served groups. How can you go from this end, you that built the temple, to the other end of serving groups and idols? Next verse. Continue. Yes, he sent prophets. God kept on warning them. He sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Next verse. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah. This Zechariah is the son of Jehoiada. And the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto him, thus said God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. You know what this guy did? He killed him. Next verse. Next verse. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with the stones at the commandment of the king, in the court of the house of the Lord. What would change somebody that has been enjoying the covering of the Jehoiada, all of a sudden to stone this man? You know, the son of Jehoiada, the son. That's the, it's the same Zechariah. He's so pained. This thing pained God. You know why? You know, just like I said it. He said, we're talking about prophets. He said, just like they said, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah. He said, this generation will give an account for it. Are you following me? So what would make this man? Two things. When it was, you see, if Bible says that, we need to reason along with scriptures. Bible says that God will not allow you to be tempted about what you're able to bear. The fact that God put him there, God knows that you will have everything. By the time this man goes, you should have been ready. That's why God probably added more life to this man to live to 130. So that he will have enough time to grow and to grow and to grow and to practice and practice and practice. So by the time this man checks out, he can continue the work. But he took that that grace that was flowing. Are you following me? He took it. He didn't grow spiritually. So he killed this guy. And he didn't just kill him. So he killed him right in the court of the Lord. The son of the same person that kept you when Athaliah was keeping you. If you don't want to go, sorry. So they kept him in the kingdom for about 7 years. That the guy was, when they were going to kill him, it was this man, Jehoiada, that gave the instruction to go and kill Athaliah. Are you following me? So you see what happens when we don't grow in love under the covering of right leadership. If you had asked this man at that time, he would have said, God led him. No, he won't say he's devil now. Why would he say he's the devil? He won't say he's the devil. He says that God has led him. But that's a very terrible example. Look at the second example. Look at it. Because if it wasn't because, listen to me, Jesus Christ came to meet them at that time. He just got that hesitated a bit. Probably that boat would have capsized. Talking about Peter. If the don't get my say, you see, because this man was not there, this man misbehaved. If probably the master would not appear at that time, I follow me, something disastrous will have happened to Peter and all the other guys. Why? Because at that time, Satan was already controlling them and they didn't know. That would not be a portion. I want us to look at the last example before we close. Eliezer. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Abraham's servant. So it's something, Genesis chapter 24. So, and Abraham was old. And was stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Next verse. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. At this time, this servant, spiritually speaking now, had control, was ruling over many things that Abraham had. So he had already learned to put his flesh under. Or else he would not have committed so much unto him. But he had one more test to go. Next verse. And I will make this swear by the Lord, the God of Abraham, and the God of that, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son, of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwelt. Next verse. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Next verse. Let me see. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring my son again, thy son again, unto the land from whence thou camest? Anyway, as we all know, next verse, I want to get to something. Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son to die again. Next verse. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, said, will send an angel before you and all that. I want to get to verse 9 because of time. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning the matter. The Bible says that, you see, we must come to a place whereby you can stick for instructions revealed in the Bible. The Bible says by truth, we say that God confirmed me with us. When somebody swears, he says, that is the end. I'm not going to change again. That's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. He said, by God swore that, by two minutes, in which was impossible. He said, an oath for confirmation is the end of all strife. That is, we should come to the place in our lives whereby, I'm not saying we should swear, I'm not saying we shouldn't swear, but that as far as I'm concerned, you understand this principle. It is clear to you, nothing can change it. Like Pastor said the other day, that even if I should stop groaning, he said, it should not affect you. Why? That's what I'm trying to say. So this guy took the oath that, don't worry, Abraham, go and rest. We can handle the matter. And of course, you know he went. And let's go to verse 12 because of time. And he said something. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I have been in the way the Lord led me. What is that way? Pastor has taught us the way of love. I say, I show you a more excellent way. Why was this man led? Even though he was a servant, he abode under Abraham's instruction. And he also learned to crucify his flesh. The Bible says he ruled over many things under Abraham. That's why he was led. Praise the Lord. So we see that positive example of Eliezer. So in summary, what is God saying to us? Because we go into the how. It's a very simple message. We've been taught already. We are practicing. God wants us to keep on practicing with more diligence. Paul said something. He said that I die daily. That is, there is a process we have to go through before we can get to that place that we are led by love. But God has not left us without a witness. That's why he has put that love, that covenant around, so that we don't leave the boundary, especially in this time, the love of many are waxing cold because of the abounding iniquity. Put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15.
I want to go back to that verse we started from. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. 5, what does it say? Paul was talking, he said, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see, you must come to that place where you die daily until, like Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. If you open to Romans chapter 8 in verse 10, I mentioned it before, Romans 8, 10. When Paul was talking, he said that, put it there, he says, and if Christ, he said, and if Christ be in you, the body is what? Dead because of sin. There's a sin nature there. But the spirit is life, or all access to life because of righteousness, right standing. Next verse. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by spirit that dwelleth in you. It is the process of the Holy Spirit giving life to the mortal body that crucifies the flesh. Less life, more alive are you to the flesh. And for more life, you died more. Next verse. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. He didn't say we are not debtors, but say we are not debtors to live after the flesh. If you are not a debtor to live after the flesh, you are a debtor each day to live after the spirit. Amen. That's what he's saying. Say we are, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. But if you read what he's saying, that means you are a debtor to live after the spirit daily. Next verse. Say, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die or be led astray. But if you through the spirit mortify, through the process of life being given to your mortal flesh, what will happen? You mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's what Paul was saying. Next verse. That this now you now connect. He said, for as many as are led by the spirit of the Lord are sons of God. So if you don't go through that initial process, you cannot be led. And it takes time. It's not something that can happen in one day. Praise the Lord. So how do we do this? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1 says that, by Paul said, I die daily. So we use the blood, the word, and the spirit to daily perfect the love of God we've been taught. I don't want to go over it again. I check pastor's books. And then the other aspect is which I mentioned around, the importance of being with the right attitude under the right, submitting to the right covering. So while you are practicing dying daily, there are days that you're not going to die. Yes. There are days that you are not going to die. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about die physically. Die to the flesh. That day. There are days that you're going to wake up late. There are many times you start well. Before the middle of the day, your flesh begins to run riot. So what happens when you don't die that day? Physically, I mean, not physically now. Are you following me? What will save you that day is the submission, that wall or covering around you will now shield you and protect you from misbehaving or being led astray. So there are two things we need to do. We use the blood, the word, and spirit to perfect the love of God in our lives daily as we die daily. And then the second thing, so while we are practicing that, we keep the instructions of the said spiritual fathers. We tarry in Jerusalem. So don't leave the range of the covering. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray. Let's talk to the Lord. It's just a short word of exhortation. Nothing serious. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for showing us things to come. Thank God for you are in that third day that you appear to your disciples. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. I raise the other hand unto heaven. Pray and say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you want me to be led by your spirit as a son of God. I come to receive fresh mercy and fresh grace to daily use your blood, your word, and spirit to perfect your love under the covering of said spiritual fathers. As I do the same and grow spiritually, I'll constantly be led by your spirit as a son of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now pray in tongues. in Jesus' name.